I'm happy to be in the house of the Lord today.
Amen.
Yes, it's good to be here with you. To see each one of you. It's good to see Brother and Sister Miller with us.
Amen.
And those what used to be little children. It's amazing how fast time is going and how quickly things, these little ones get big, and I tell you, man, it makes me, as Brother Branham said, might need to get a cane, right? So, may the Lord bless you. It's good to have you all with us today. And just remember the prayer request. I would like to ask that we would pray for Sister Pansy also, that we didn't get the request in there, but she's been having a lot of pain in her legs, and she wants to do some walking and try to help that. And so we want to just ask the Lord to touch her this morning. We believe God can do that. We've seen him do things many times, and so we know he will this time also. So we want to go ahead and we'll pray in just a moment, but I want to read the scripture. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, and we'll begin reading verse 25. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 25 through 28, I believe it is. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every hill, high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Some people believe that means the Twin Towers, but we'll just leave that there. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be as sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wounds. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. And his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with a sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaw of the people, causing them to err. Just want to pray for a moment, Lord, as we just bow our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord. As always, we appreciate, God, that you allow us to come into your house and to be with your people. And, Lord, to have another opportunity to sit and look into your word, Lord, and just dedicate a time for your spirit to speak to us, to deal with our hearts, and to lead us and guide us. And we just ask, Lord, that that's what you do this morning. We surrender this time to you, each one, and just ask, God, that you drive everything back that would hinder, allow us to sit in heavenly places this morning, that you would impart down into our walk and into our soul things, Lord, that will help us in our journey. We know that that's exactly what you'll do, because you're the great shepherd of your sheep. The one to feed them doesn't lie within a man to do so, but it is within you, Lord. And so as we surrender to you this morning as a speaker and as hearers, we just give you the preeminence today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You pray for me. Amen. I'm going to title this today, Ripe for Judgment. That sounds uplifting, doesn't it? Ripe for Judgment. Amen. We just thank the Lord for his goodness to us. You know, the scriptures here that we read said, the name of the Lord cometh from far. And I want to comment just to, before I get into that, that in the day when the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be as 7 days. You realize that Jesus Christ is the sun in that example, in the natural type being spiritual, and the church is the moon. And so we've had these 7 ages where the moon just gives reflection of light as the moon, as the sun reflects off of it. But at the end, when it comes time for the Lord to set up his kingdom on this earth, God's going to take that church that was in 7 days, and he's going to take the light that was there in 7 days and going to magnify it, so the church is going to have the light of the sun, and the light of the sun is going to be magnified 7 times beyond that. And so we realize that's here at the end where God is going to finish these things off. His church is going to be glorified, and so is he. And so we realize that it's in that hour that he talks about this and says that the name of the Lord cometh from far. You realize that a prophet stood in this day, and he lifted Jesus Christ up out of history. Yes. Because he was far off according to the way the world lives and the way they think it. But this prophet brought Jesus near to us because of the gift that God had placed in him.
And so the name of the Lord comes from far, and he says it comes to sift the nations. And how many knows what to sift means? You know, I used to watch my grandmother do that. She'd take that flour out of the bin and she'd put it in that thing and sift it, you know. And so he says he's coming at this time, at the same time that the bride is going to be elevated and Christ is going to be magnified, during that same hour, he's coming from afar. The name of the Lord is coming. And so he's coming here for the purpose to sift the nations, to shake the nations with a sieve of vanity. And so he says, Brother Ram tells us that the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. He tells us that in God's only provided place of worship. So the word interpreted, when and how many knows how God interprets the words? He interprets it by bringing it to pass, right?
Amen.
So when the word is being interpreted, that is the manifestation of the name of God. And so when the name of God is coming from far, coming present, what's coming present is the manifestation of that name. It is the word coming to pass concerning these matters. God is coming near and bringing to pass what he said he would do. And you know, Brother Bram tells us that the day of the Lord is not Sunday, but it's when God says to man, you're finished, your day's done, you've had your way, now I'm going to do what I've promised to do. So we realize that this word coming in our day is bringing the name of the Lord near, and the name of the Lord is coming. The power, the presence, the name is coming near to settle the matters and to shake the entire world and every nation with a sieve of vanity. It's going to shake them with vain things. They're going to be shaken to their core with vain things because it's the hand of the Lord that's doing it. You'll understand more when we get a little bit further. So I want to read a couple of quotes to you here that kind of get kicked off on this and the sign of this time and faithful Abraham. Brother Ram says, now, if this Holy Spirit coming in the last days has to be exactly the life of Christ in his church, how many believe that? Right? The Holy Spirit coming today has to be the life of Christ in his church. And that's what it is. He said, if that's what it is, and the world laughs at it, laughs at that and says one word against it, by the authority of God's word, shall be destroyed. Remember Jesus saying, you can speak against me when I'm here in this flesh, but and get by with it maybe, right? You can be forgiven of that. But when the Holy Ghost comes to speak against that, it'll never be forgiven. And this is what Brother Ram's talking about. So that in this last day, if the presence of God coming is the Holy Ghost in his people, if that's what's here, and the world speaks one word against it, then by the authority of God's word, they have to be destroyed for that. Amen. They can't be forgiven for it. Think about this. They cannot be forgiven. To speak one word against the I'm talking about this end time movement where we had churches for seven ages where they had a portion of this and a portion of that. But when he himself comes and embodies himself in a people of believers, and then the world makes fun of that or speaks even one word against that, there's only one thing left, and that is for them to receive judgment. And it's not the church that's saying that. It's not those things, but it's God who has said it. And so he says, you see what the world has done? He said, by authority of God's word, it shall be destroyed. So you see what the world has done. So God to rain down judgment out of heaven is exactly in order right now. Our nation, our cities, our world is ripe for judgment. And I'm sure that it's later than we think. And he said he'd have to cut it short for the elect's sake, or there'd be no flesh saved. In faithful Abraham, and he says, and this is not about tithing, but I have to go through it to get to the point of what he's saying. He said, and to you people who don't believe in tithing, look at this. The Levitical priesthood paid tithes, and the Bible said that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham, and that was his great-great-grandfather. And when Levi was in the loins of Abraham, when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the Bible reckoned Levi paying tithes. How ought we, how ought you people to live? If your sins are visited to your children, what about your blessings? Think about it. How should we live? Because if our sins are visited, then God's just God, right? Then he'll visit the blessings. I want my family to be blessed. Do you want yours to be blessed? I don't want them to be cursed. So it says, how you people to live? If our sins are visited children, what about our blessings? No wonder, as I said today, the flapper brought forth the chorus girl. What do you think the chorus girl will bring forth? What's this world coming to? It's just ripe for judgment. It's a great bunch of corruption and sin and unbelief. There's nothing left but to destroy it. Do you remember the old days of the flapper? Look at her daughter. Now, what's her daughter going to be? You see, I'll preach one of these nights, the sowing of the wind and reaping the whirlwind. And that's what the nations has done. They've sowed to the wind and is reaping the whirlwind. And we've sowed to socialism and reaping communism. He's talking about this nation. We've sowed to socialism, and what are we going to reap? Communism, right? That's what this nation has coming. We see that too, don't we? We see it. But God's got a plan for his bride too, right? So a sift. We're basically at a sifting time here. And you know what the sifting is? I said a while ago, I see my grandmother sifting. She would take and... basically sift whatever it is you're sifting down into what it is. And to get all, maybe if there was a rock or something like that in there that didn't belong in there, wouldn't go through there, but if you sift it down and break it all down to where what you have is just purity, this is what it is.
Yes,
and then you can take that and you have a purpose for it. You have a purpose if it's wheat or flour or whatever it is. You have a purpose once you have sifted it and brought it down to what its core, what it really is. Now you've got a process where you take that and you make bread with it or something like that. So after you sift it, then you do with it what's appropriate to do with it. Right? So if God's going to come and sift the nations with a sieve of vanity, he's going to shake them all down. He's going to make them come to be... clearly be what they are, so there's nothing hidden there. Then he's going to do with whatever they are, whatever stance they take, whatever they're made up of. Then he's going to do with that appropriately what belongs to that. You know, it's the same thing as harvest time. You know, for harvest time, we talk about, oh, it's harvest time, we're bringing in all these people in the churches and all that. You know, harvest time tabernacle, and just all these things. But you realize that harvest time does not change what it is.
Right.
Harvest time does not change what that is that's growing out there in the field. Harvest time just brings manifestation of what it is. See? And so you realize that when you hit harvest time, as the parable of the wheat and the tares, you know, that when the enemy sowed tares among the guy's wheat and you couldn't tell them apart until harvest time. But at harvest time, you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
And then you could appropriately deal with what it is once you know what it is. And so we've had ages where people act like Christians and all this nonsense, but here at the end time, God's going to shake the whole thing, bring everybody right down to what they are, using a sieve of vanity to where everybody manifests what they are.
Right.
Clearly manifest. They're no more hiding. They're going to manifest exactly what they are in this hour. And so that's harvest time, because harvest time gets it to the place where now you know what it is and everything pits its side and everybody manifests what they are. And then at that point, he knows what to take into the barn, into the garner. He knows what to burn out to burn, you know, in the field. Right? So that's what he's doing. And you and I get to see it. You and I are watching it unfold. You know, I've said this many times. It's been a long time ago. But I mentioned a few times in the past, I don't have any time, but many times, that when a people get so corrupt, you realize that God is, he's all about pure seed.
Yes.
And he doesn't want us to hybrid.
Right.
He doesn't want us to mix seeds.
Right.
When you mix seeds, you can't You've corrupted it, and even though it has offspring, that offspring, you can never come back to that original seeds, the two original seeds that made it up that you crossbred. You can never come back to that. Once it's hybrid, it's done. It cannot. And so, you know, that when a people gets so corrupt, I remember going back and thinking about in the Old Testament, and God, some of those nations live such a wicked and godly lifestyle, and so got to the place where God would tell them whenever Israel was coming, I said, go in there and destroy everything. Man, woman, children, beast, don't leave nothing. And you have to realize, you know, we believe in God. We believe he's infinite. We believe he doesn't make mistakes. He knows all things. He does all things well. And so when a people gets so degraded, so messed up and hybrid and gotten so far away from God, that when he looks at it, he says, there's nothing to work with there. They must be destroyed. Then we know they must be destroyed. We know that if he says there's nothing left there to work with that group or that humanity or whatever it is we're talking about, once God says that's done, they've crossed the line of judgment and mercy, there's no way to bring it back. No way. Not a thing that man can do to bring that back. Not a thing that anybody else can do to bring it back, because then God would be going back on his word. And he's not making mistakes. He knows. So once he makes a declaration that they've passed that line of mercy and judgment, that's done. It's done.
Yeah.
And it don't make a bit of difference how much crying and how much trying and how much Esau sought it carefully with tears to try and get it back. It right. makes no difference. It's not coming back.
Right?
So we realize that when God comes along and he's going to sift the nations and he's going to boil this thing down and bring it down to where everybody is very clear what everybody is. Everybody's having an opportunity to make their choice. And once that happens, and when God sits back and says, okay, this is real flour, this is wheat, this is wicked, this is the bride, this is... Once he's hit that spot in his economy, we're not changing nothing. We're not changing any of that. You know, they're not going to take the wicked and say, oh, but it's harvest time and we're going to preach to them and make them become seed.
No.
You can't take non-seed and make it seed.
Not
but
right.
guess what? You can't take seed and make it non-seed.
That's right.
You can't do it.
Amen.
Because it's, you know, it's God's economy. And so we believe that. We know it's true. We see it work in our own lives. We oppose ourselves so much, and yet God still deals with us. Lead us and guide us in truth. It is mercy. So once they reach that point, the only thing that's left for it is judgment. Once that condition's reached, no one can change it. You can take and you can put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county. Once they reach that point, you can do that and you'll never bring it back. And guess what? God will let things happen so that you can see that it makes no difference who you put in what office, and no matter how hard they try, you can't bring this nation back to be a godly nation.
That's right. Amen.
You can see it. No question about it. So it's already been pronounced. And a prophet many years ago, he done pronounces, it's done. And we walk along and go, yeah, well, maybe there's still hope for America. Maybe if we can get this guy in there to be president, there'll be hope. How many thought there was hope? Where are you at now?
Right.
Why is it that an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county in this nation, and it won't bring it back? Why? Because the rest of the corruption is so big that those few men that you would put in there can't make enough difference.
Right.
So you see where it's reached? See where it's gotten to? It's vanity to think that it's not going to be destroyed. It is. Because, as the brother said, we've sown to socialism, and guess what we're going to reap? We're going to reap communism. So, once they get so far away, God says, okay, it's done. You can't bring it back. Now, what am I talking about? Once it's become hybrid, Brother Bram tells us that it is the spoken word that is the original seed. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. God's original creation is the original form. And in that original form, it was exactly what God wanted, and it would have lasted from now on. But once that was taken and hybridized, then death moved in.
Right.
And nothing that can happen there can ever bring it back.
Yeah.
Once the human race in the Garden of Eden hybridized the human race, they're done. You can't bring them back. Just follow me for a minute and you'll understand where I'm going with this. It's done because it's been hybrid and you can't bring it back after that. There is no power within those seeds to make them come back. There's no power within those who've done this evil deed of hybridizing and mixing. There's no power lays within them to bring it back. So if once that's happened, there's no way to bring it back, how would it ever come back? The only way it could ever come back is for the spoken word that made it in the first place to bring it back. Because the spoken word is what creates. Everything is created, was created by the word of God. And when he created it in his perfect form. And so if we want to live and not have death in us, we have to be in that original perfect form that the spoken word created us in, and not hybrid.
Amen.
But once hybrid has come in, then it's done for, and the only way to live in the presence of God is for something to happen to change that, and that's why he provides us new creatures. That's why he provides us as new creation, new creatures in God. He doesn't take the hybrid thing and say, well, I'll come over and I'll smooth it over and it'll be mine again. No, it can't. It's hybrid. You have to become a new creature by that spoken word once again speaking into your life and forming a new you in you that's not hybrid now, but it's now back in the original form it was to begin with, or what God wanted it to be to begin with. You follow me? So there's no way for this world, there's no way for all this nonsense and these religions when they get away from the Word of God and they go out here and all this stuff that you see, there's no hope for them unless this whole thing can be addressed by the spoken word. And that is why God brought to us this day the spoken word. There's one thing in this land that'll make a difference and really bring people back to a position where they can live in eternity in the presence of God. And that is for the spoken word to create in them a new birth.
Yes, amen.
It's the only way it can happen. Everything else is ruined.
Yep.
So the spoken word is what does it. And no, every other seed besides that is hybrid, is death. Every other thought, every other idea, every other religious belief, every other social movement, everything outside, that's why I keep telling you, everything outside of the Word of God is ruined.
That's right.
And in order for us to have what God wants to do in our lives today, we've got to let this spoken Word come in and change us, because it alone has the creative power to do it.
Amen.
It alone, it has the ability to take us and make us new creatures.
Yeah.
And I've heard, supposedly, I guess it's true, Catholic Church can take a woman, and they think they can take a woman who's been married before, and they can make her a virgin again so she can go marry another man and not be in adultery. They can't do that because they're not the spoken word.
Right.
So that she just goes, and now she's living in adultery. Because of that. See what I'm saying? But only God can truly take someone and make them virgin again. And I'm not talking about in your flesh, because he's not going to do that. You'll never be justified in this world from that. But in your walk with him, to marry him, he's not going to marry someone who's not a virgin. So he has to do a new creature in you, a new creation, and that's what he marries.
Yes, amen.
Because it's virgin.
Amen.
But only the power of the spoken word can do that. And so it's interesting, here at this end time, when the scripture said God would visit this generation at the end time with a real prophetic gift that we don't expect the world to accept it. They never did. They don't accept Jesus. But now that that ministry's come along, and the very thing that was exhibited in that ministry was the spoken word, bringing forth original seed. You take cells in a body that's backslidden. Somebody has cancer, and they're back. Those cells are backslidden. Why? Because they're not doing what God told them to do in the first place.
Right.
Something's moved in there and messed with them, changed them. But the spoken word can speak to them and take them back to carrying out the purpose of God perfectly. Amen. So the only hope there is for this world, the only hope for you and I, is that we have an experience with the spoken word. Make us new creatures and brings. So you realize that that it is the only hope for this generation. It's the only hope it's always been, but it's for God to send his spoken word. And that spoken word, when it comes, is going to do one of two things. It is going to make us new creatures in Christ, or it's going to judge us. It's going to bring judgment upon us. I mean, remember when Brother said, when you come to the house of God and you leave here, you're either closer or further. The word does that. When people come into the presence of Almighty God, listen, the creator of the universe, and you want to come and sit and listen to him and walk away all, no big deal, you know, it's like it's nothing. When you come into the presence of Almighty God, it matters. It means something. And you're not going to go away the same. You're going to be either better or worse, but too, depending on your reception of what he's sending. So I've done showed you that the whole thing's washed up, and the only hope is this spoken word that has come in this day. Now, what is our attitude toward it? What is the world's attitude toward it? And this is why the prophet said that if the Holy Ghost had come in this last day and manifest, if that's what it is, and it is, then for the world to speak against that manifestation, they're done for. And he said, you see what they've done? You see what they've done? And so for God to bring complete judgment upon them right now is perfectly in order because of what they've done to an end time message of the Holy Ghost once again back in his church, making Jesus Christ alive again. That's what's going on. That's what's been going on for these 50 years or whatever, however much it is. That's exactly right. That's why the prophet could say those things. He wasn't just sitting there rattling. He knew what he was talking about.
Amen.
He knew exactly what he was talking about. And so if the spoken word is now, that's the only hope, and it's going to come, God's going to send it to this earth, and it's going to make a difference, then how's the world, how's people going to get this? How's it going to come to them? And she'll open up Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. How is he going to get this word that can change our lives or destroy us? How is that going to come? The scripture says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can't halfway call. I mean, you got to be serious, right? But Paul says, if you call on the Lord, you can be saved. But how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Right? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You didn't know that Brother Daniel and I had beautiful feet, did you? I won't pull my shoes and socks off and let you see. You might change your mind, right? The scripture said, how beautiful are the feet of those that will bring this gospel. How beautiful are the feet of those that can visit a people with a message that can absolutely take them back to that original form where they can live in the presence of God without fear.
Right.
And also that same word, if they reject it, will judge them and send them to the pits of hell. Send them to flames. Let's go back to one scripture, make sure I read that. So, yes, okay, go ahead. But the scripture says, but they have not all believed or obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. But I say, and I say this myself, I say this to you, but I say, have they not heard? Paul answered the question.
Yeah.
Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. What hasn't been preached from this message to you? Think about it. What have you not come in contact and setting in a message church and listening to the word be preached to you? You have the Bible, you have the message of the prophet that made the Bible come alive to become a new book to us, and you have ministry here that speaks to you week after week. What have you not heard? The scripture, Paul said, yes, they've heard it. And the reason why he can say that is because he knows God's program, that God's going to get it out there, because every person is going to have the opportunity to come or reject and go away. So Paul knows that, and Brother Brim says, I've come and I'm speaking the same thing Paul does. We are experiencing Omega of what Alpha was in the ministry of Paul. And so I can tell you that God's going to make sure that it's all out there. Yes, the sound goes into all the world. It goes into all the church. It goes into you, into your life.
Right.
Able to speak to you. And now, so what is it the people is doing with what they've heard?
Yeah.
That's how it comes. I said, ask the question, how are they going to get it? It's going to come through his body. When I go to speak the word of Tony, that word comes through my body.
Right.
And when the word of the Lord is going to come to you from afar to shift everything and to make everybody, it's all going to come and these things are going to manifest. He's going to speak to you through his word, through his body.
Yep.
So it's the manifestation of God in his church that comes and makes this happen. And so, it's through his body, his believers, because we are the body of Christ, right? We are his body. Scripture says so.
Yeah.
But I ask you, what happens when they just won't hear it? What happens when this comes and people you just can't get to them because they just won't hear it?
Right.
The only thing left, if you just can't reach them, then the only thing left is judgment. Whether it's Brother Branham that speaks to you, you read it in your Bible, you hear it over this pulpit, you hear it on other tapes from other ministry, and in all these years, and Brother Branham, I'll read another quote if I haven't already read it, I don't remember if I did or not, but after all these years of preaching the gospel, you know, it's all coming down to this, after all that, if our lives are still sitting here and haven't advanced, it's not getting to us.
Come on.
You see what I'm saying? It's the power that can change us, and yet, if it's not getting to us, how can it change us? How can this happen if people just won't hear, they just won't listen, if their ears are dull of hearing? You see how serious this is. That's the very word that can't help them if they won't hear it. You find out that people are fighting their way to hell. Every time somebody comes along, because you realize God is going to visit you with truth. I don't care if it's about everyday life situations, or if it's about church matters, or if it's what the right decision in work or whatever. God is going to visit each one of us with truth. And we have to do something with that. We have to choose right or wrong. We're free moral agents, right? We have to choose that which is right. We have to choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us by the word. Matter of fact, I heard a prophet say the other day, before you can go off into sin and do things, you have to throw the word of God to the side.
Right.
See, God's in control of this, and you're being touched. Your lives are being touched by a word, by truth that can change you. And it's there in the presence of, it is good in the presence of evil that you have to choose from, but you have to do the choosing. You have to do the manifesting. You have to do the yielding of that which is influencing you.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. And so, people are fighting their way to hell because they, every bit of truth that comes along that's different than what they want, they just sling it to the side, they argue with it, they fight with it, they attack it, try to delete it, try to snuff it out. They do everything in the world to remove that so they can keep pressing on with their own agenda or whatever it is they're looking for.
That's right.
That's exactly what they do. And when it comes to that, and God sends this and sends something else, and this form of truth, another, and all, and you throw it all aside when it's all over and done with, if you can't respond to truth, where does that leave you?
Right.
It leaves you ripe for judgment. And that's what the nations have done. That's what the nations of this world have done. We've actually come to that in this day, you know. They fight their way. God brings circumstances into their lives and into this world and to sift us and to challenge us so that we have opportunity to choose what is right and what's wrong.
That's right, yeah.
He shakes us, causes things to come into our lives. He's shaking humanity, shaking this earth right now like it hasn't been shook in all the time I've been around, shaking it with COVID and shaking it with evil governments and shaking it with things that are covering the whole earth and people, men's hearts failing for fear. I'm going to tell you what we should be looking to. But he's doing that, and the whole purpose, because everybody's being called in on record right here as to what their response is to truth. And that's what's going on. And God will bring these circumstances so it manifests what's down inside them, because it is harvest time. And then once he's done with that, he's going to take the chaff to the fire. He's going to take the wheat into the barn. Because it's all, we're at that time. We're at that cycle. Rarely do you see people change in our day. Rarely do you see people change their opinion on something.
Right.
Every person, everybody's character is on judgment right now. Everybody's being given opportunity. I watch it. I see it. People will have a persuasion on something and they stay with it. And it makes no difference how much truth you bring. They stay with it. They stay with their...
It's just
baffling to me. You've seen a person and get caught in a lie and they stick to the lie. There's proof right there showing them they were lying and they know they've been caught, but they stick right to it. Because they won't change.
Right.
What kind of condition is that? If even when we're confronted, if God with a mighty powerful ministry that none of the rest of them could even touch would testify in their midst that they're wrong in their doctrines and in their lifestyles, and they still will not repent. Can you imagine somebody saying, oh, this prophet, when he's standing there discerning and he's telling the thoughts and intents of the heart and never miss it, it's always correct, he knows the lives of people, and yeah, that's God, but when he starts teaching, you better not listen to him.
Yeah,
can you imagine that? They're basically saying that God is endorsing a lie.
Yeah.
That's their insanity.
That's right.
That's the insanity of the whole thing. To say we're doing everything we can to save lives and pushing down things that actually work at the same time.
Right.
To tell a man, you hit a woman who had a child and it, in her back, and you killed her and the child and you're guilty of double murder, but over here, yep, you can kill that baby all the way up to the time it's being born.
Right.
And it's okay. See what it's come to?
Why
would we have any confidence in humanity and anything that's going on outside of God's word?
Amen.
Why would we?
Right.
Look what it's come to. So degraded.
Yeah.
And people are picking sides with things and you can't change them. You can't change them one bit. Just here and there, a few, here and there. Just here and there, just a few. I watch people, like I said, it makes no difference. You take someone who's had the jab, It makes no difference to them how many people get sick, how many people die from taking it. Because they took it, everybody else needs to do it, regardless. Boom. They've lost it. See, why? Because we've come to that hour where this is what it has to be. It has to be that everybody plainly stands for what they are, and you at harvest time can't convince that wheat to be something else or something else to be wheat. It has to be what it is.
Right.
So for you and I, we get to see it and we get to realize, yes, Lord, we're in that cycle. And so I know now what to expect from humanity. I know what to expect coming out of Washington. I know what to expect coming from the medical system and from the schools and from all. I know what to expect because God has visited us with a message to give us insight to the spirit that's working and where we are in this program. So we know. We know what it is. No questions. So you see, these people, they won't change, or they're hell-bent, excuse me for the phrase, but it seems appropriate. They're hell-bent on doubling and tripling down on their stance. It makes no difference how much you show them there was fraud in the election, because their man won, they're sticking with their story.
That's right.
You can't change. They're not. It's not about truth anymore.
That's right.
It's not about truth. People in this country should say, you know what, regardless, we want open and fair, provable, clear elections where there's no questions about it. But they don't.
That's right.
Because their side's in power, you got to go with it instead of being fair, because that's where it's come to. No matter how much you show religious people who believe in three gods, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen. See, I'm just showing you that what this prophet said, that this nation and this world hit that spot many years back. They've already hit it. Amen.
Right.
They're bent on doubling and tripling down on their stance, whatever it is they're believing for and standing for. And because you can't touch them with truth, they don't care to hear it. Like I said, it's not about truth anymore. Go up there to Congress all you want with all the truth. It makes no difference. They're not going to hear it. I've watched the school board meetings. I've watched Congress, and people come there with good evidence, good reasons. Next. When I'm done, next. It's like, you have the audacity to bother my time to have to listen to your evidence? They're not concerned about helping. They've got an agenda because they're anointed, and that's where they're going, because that's the hour we've reached to. That's where we're at. It's harvest time. And even the foul things of the earth have to manifest their foulness. Right at the same time, the bride of Christ should be manifesting the Christ. Amen. Is the very shaking power that's shaking the whole earth that's bringing these things to pass, making us better believers, should be,
yes,
and making the rest of the world terrible, yeah, and worse, and even doubling down into what they are.
Right.
What are they? Their souls in prison now. If God says, I can't do anything, well, they won't hear my truth, you can't reach them, and they're in that condition, their soul's in prison now.
Right.
Now, for those that may not know what I'm talking about, when Jesus left this world, was crucified, the scripture said in Peter that he went down into the bowels of the earth, down there into the place where those who had already died had gone on. And he preached to the spirits, the souls down there, that were there.
Right.
Why? When he died and was buried, he was preaching his gospel message in another realm.
Right.
And in that realm, he was preaching to the souls, people who refused to repent when they were back on earth in the days of Noah, and they were confronted with truth. They were confronted with the word, and while they were here, they wouldn't believe that word, and they died without it, without embracing it.
Right.
Then they died in that condition. They've gone from time on into their hereafter, I won't call it eternity because they won't be there. They're not in eternity.
Right.
But they went, and now they were there waiting to be judged. And yet also there were believers who had embraced truth, like Abraham and the different ones. They had embraced it, and they also had went on. And they were in that realm down there. And when Jesus left here, he left here, and the scriptures talk about him. He's going down into the bowels of the earth. He descended from here down into that realm, and he preached while he was there. And that message, the same message he preached in that dimension, was able to grab Abraham and all the believers and bring them out of that dimension in a resurrection when he came out. But the same message was a testimony against those who were souls already in prison. There wasn't a thing they could do to accept it because they had already reached that time where their day was done. The difference is people now on this earth still living, walking around, and they have reached that place where they're done. And the gospel is being preached to souls
right.
in prison, but at the same time that gospel is being preached to souls in prison, is being preached to some who can be redeemed. That's the thing, that's what's going on. And it becomes very evident to me now that you can't touch them with truth. You can't touch them with the gospel. And you see it manifested in the physical, out in politics and in medical things. It's all before us. To realize where we're at, and it's just a natural thing tied into the spiritual thing, that if you can't receive the Word of God into your heart, you're done.
Right.
And we've reached that hour where people are like that. The same gospel message, saving and bringing judgment.
Right.
You know, when Jesus descended, down in that realm, I mentioned this a few years ago. In that realm where we read the scriptures where he talks about lift up ye gates, ye everlasting gates, and let the King of Glory come in. But down there in that dimension, and we realize that Abraham, and perhaps maybe there was a difference between the lost and the saved down there that we read in the parables and so forth. But here's Abraham and all the redeemed, and here's all this other bunch over here that's, you know, Goliath and all the different ones that obviously lost. They're down there. They're in that realm, and all of a sudden, up above, there's an earthquake in earth, and here comes the King of Glory down. What's he doing? He's descending from heaven, because earth is heaven to them. You know, once you pass from here and you go down, heaven's above. And when you're here, heaven's above us, right? So earth would be... So he descends from what would be heaven to them. He descends from above. I'll just say it that way. He descends from above carrying a message that can take those people who are in that realm and take them out of that realm and yet condemn those who can't be saved. And I say that because the scripture said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel and trump of God." He would descend from heaven and come present into this dimension like he did there. And as he comes into this dimension, he will preach to people who can be redeemed, but he's also preaching to souls that are in prison.
Right.
And that's going on right now.
Yes.
Exactly what's happening. But when he's done preaching here and he's done carrying out what he's come here to do, then he takes his redeemed and he takes them up, and they go into that heavenly realm or so forth. You know, and it's interesting, when Jesus did that, when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake when he went into that dimension. And there was an earthquake when he came out of it, bringing the saints with him. There was an earthquake in 1964. And the Lord Jesus Christ has descended in a message, and there was a mighty earthquake, and we know there's another mighty earthquake coming. And I just, in my mind, I envision that here he is, and he's preaching, and right about the time that other earthquake happens, he's going to take his believers out, and the ones that are left here for judgment are going to be judged, right? But you see, this is already unfolding, and it's not like it's okay, tomorrow at 10 a.m. it's done for everybody. No, God he's Lord of the harvest. He knows every person, and he knows every person where they're at in their walk and what they're doing. And it's in his program where they reach that point of no return. I can't tell you that. But he knows. Right? I have seen it a couple of times, or at least one time for sure, where I believe I witnessed someone crossing that line because something down inside witnessed to me that they did. And sure enough, from then on out, everything indicated that that's exactly what they had done. At least one case, and the other one's similar. So, they won't change. You can't touch them. So if you can't touch it with the word, there's only one thing that can change it. Spoken word. That's the same message that's now living in you and I. And if that can't change them, if that won't touch them, if they can't receive that, then how can they ever be changed? They can't. See, they can't be changed. And like I said, it's not up to us to choose anything about the wind and whatever. We just keep living it. We just keep living it. So, but when he comes in his people, then what if people just can't receive it? What if they say, oh, I believe it, but not in you? Not in the believers. Not in the believers of this message. You see what I'm saying? Jesus said, if I send you, if they receive you, then they're receiving me. If they receive me, they receive him who sent me. What if they don't receive who he sends? Think about the parable. That wasn't a parable, but it's Jesus. It's a parable, but Jesus tells about it about the end of the world. He says, when I was sick and in prison, you visited me. Right? Enter into the joys of the Lord, prepared before the foundation of the world. Right? But to the wicked, he says, because when I was in prison and I was sick and all those things, you didn't come. And in both cases, both the righteous and the wicked, both, they said, Lord, when saw we thee sick and in prison? He said, when you didn't do it for my brethren, you didn't do it for these, you didn't do it for me. So when he sends his message at the end time, and he sends it through his body, his believers, and they're coming, they're trying to live and express and reach out and preach and everything we know how to do to get this word, this spoken word, to people, both in this congregation and in the workplace and our families and out in the world, while we're doing that, and they may not realize this is the Lord. This is him. They make a mistake in thinking, oh, that's just Brother Tony. That's just Brother Daniel. Brother Tony and Brother Daniel don't stand here and say the things we say in ourselves. It comes from him. He's trying to get through to people. And there's all kinds of facets of how people respond to that. We realize there can be some who are good to us that they would be granted. But see, it's him. And so for people to resist that, that's their hope. And they don't even know it.
Right.
I'm sure that Esau, if he would have known coming into the situation and what he did afterwards, because the scripture said afterwards he sought carefully with tears to get restored back and he couldn't what he had lost. Well, I'm sure that if he knew at the beginning what he knew at the end, he would have never done what he did. So he went into it not realizing what he was doing. And people go into life every day not realizing that they're not giving this word first place in their life.
Right.
Some people have flat out just reject it and criticize it, but others will just say, yeah, that's good, but never do anything with it. Never let it speak into their lives. And if that's the case in any of those examples, where does that leave us if God can't reach us with this message, if we can't hear and actually catch that revelation of Jesus Christ and what it is that makes him alive in us, living the very same thing that he's saying? If we can't do that, where does that leave us? I'm pretty sure it leaves us out of the rapture. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just telling you the truth. God sent us something here to make a difference in our lives. And we need to be very careful what we do with what has been given. We have to embrace it when it comes. We have to let it have a place in our lives. We can't just keep going on down, oh, this is the way I feel. This is what I think. Amen. This is my persuasion. Remember, you're supposed to be like a child, either receive the kingdom like a little child, or little children are teachable. And he says that he's hid from the wise and prudent.
Yeah.
He's hid from the wise and prudent, but revealed to babes.
That's right.
Because wise and prudent, I don't need you to tell me, because I know. I'm a medical doctor, and I know that these jabs are good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me. They won't. And no matter what you bring them, they can't receive truth. Right? I'm the officials. We are the board of supervisors over this state to look over the election. Don't tell us. We know what's going on here. And you can't touch them. Go to school boards and say, hey, stop this nonsense with this critical race. Let me show you why. And it makes no difference. They go with it anyway. And once the people finally realize that all these things that is being injected into our society that's causing troubles, it's not America that's done this. It's outside forces that has injected this in here to destroy us. But that's the judgment at hand. Why? Because we sowed to socialism, and now we're going to reap communism.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling you this is for the bride, necessarily. God knows when he's going to take us out. Right? But we're watching it unfold. And we realize, hey, you can't, what the scripture says, God will not be mocked.
Right.
What a man sows, he's going to reap. What these governments sow, they're going to reap. A man should keep to his word, and governments should keep to their word.
Right.
A man should not deceive people to gain power for himself, and governments should not do it either. Schools should not do it. Principals should not do it. Teachers should not do it. Colleges should not do it.
Amen.
See what I mean?
Amen.
It all goes back. We should do exactly that which we would have done for us. To be fair to one another and to extend the same rights that we want, we should extend to everyone else. But you can't touch them. Because that's the cycle we're in. They're not going to change. It's not going to happen. Because judgment was pronounced long ago by a voice that they rejected, and they're still rejecting it right now. They reject the way it came. They rejected it in Jesus. They rejected it in Paul. They rejected it in all the apostles, the prophets. They rejected it in Brother Branham. They rejected it in you and I.
Right.
What can you do? All you can do is just keep right on expressing and living and reaching out to it everything you can to try and let them see truth exhibited in your life. But they're going to do what they're going to do. That's why Brother Graham said, when I come back every year and it's worse. And he said, why? Well, then you say, well, why do you do it? He said, because somebody's got to be a voice against it.
Yes.
Somebody's got to tell it. Somebody's got to stand for that truth. And God's always got somebody who's standing for truth.
That's right.
And brother, sister, we need people standing for truth.
Amen.
If we ever did. Right. If we ever did. Right now, we need to be doing it.
Right.
You can't change. And you could show people, even in their own encyclopedias, that the Catholic Church is the one that started Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism.
Right.
And they won't change. And be vile with you if you try to talk to them about it.
Right?
Right? You can't change. I've had them, they've come right here in this building, and I've heard them respond to the word and realize that they're wrong and go right back like a dog to their vomit, hauled to the wall. Unless the spoken word changes something in them, they can't. They cannot change. The human race cannot change themselves. The scripture tells us the devil, that the angels of hell, they are reserved in chains of darkness. They cannot be illuminated. They're in darkness. And people whose lives are influenced by them, they can't do anything until light comes to them. Until something changes the spirit that they're walking in, they can't change. Amen. That's why it's so important here at the end time. You know, I've said that this thing we look at where they're forcing things on everybody, that's a precursor to the mark of the beast. We realize mark of the beast is a spiritual thing and it's been going on already. But everything spiritual manifests physically. And we finally come to the hour where they can actually physically lock down the world. And so you see, yeah, it's really on their mind. They really have the lack of character enough to actually try and implement that for their own pleasures, for their own whatever it is they're wanting. And try to lie to people and make it look like it's all for their good. It's always been that way. Every dictator that's ever come on has exactly what they do, is convince the people, oh, this is for you. And they get enough of them to believe that then they can go ahead and carry on through, even though they have to physically snuff out those who don't. Well, I mean, it's the same playbook. Because Satan, I mean, it's just their program. And we see that happening. So that's what it is. It, you know, I realize I'm putting my neck out. That's fine, because it's true. But all I'm saying is we want the gospel truth to touch lives.
Yes.
And we're not going to compromise on it. And if truth manifests itself, you know, how does it? Like I said, in spirit form, it always manifests physically. So how is this truth going to manifest? Amen? It's going to manifest through a people who will not bow to all this deception and all this religious nonsense. But they're going to stand with the word. She is ordained to do so. All kinds of different forms of truth, and yet they won't hear it. So if you can't reach them, what's left? If they can't hear these things, and we don't, like I said, we don't draw a line and say, okay, they're done. No, it's up to God, but we're manifesting, and this gospel is manifesting to them, and if they can't hear that, and apparently they're not, then what's happened? Then it's judgment. That's the only thing left. Ripe for judgment. This is why that the bride of Christ here at the end time, she does not have her own opinion. This is why that what she stands for is the word and the word alone. Because my opinion is not sufficient enough to draw people out of this condition and give them a new birth. My opinion won't do that. Right? So we come to realize, God, this thing is done. It's over with. If you don't do something in our midst, if you don't take this word and manifest it in our lives, we're done. Because he said, I've got to do a quick work and cut it short with righteousness, or there won't be no flesh there. So we have to realize we're coming to that point where even like John says, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We come to the point realizing there's nothing left good if God doesn't do something. Desperation must strike. We must look out on the horizon and see all this stuff coming and realize, God, we've tried to stand for your truth and just make sure it is his truth you're standing for.
Right.
God, if you don't move, then we're done.
Yep.
Right? And so you can see what's in their mind to do. And yes, there will be a mark of the beast. It's already going on spiritually, but they will do these things.
That's right.
As I said, what are they doing in the mark of the beast? You either line up with our system, or we're going to put monetary restrictions on you. You won't be able to buy. You won't be able to sell. Remember what I always said, that whenever you're in battle, the first thing you do is try to cut off the supply line to your enemy. We'll starve them out. They won't be able to get water or food, and they'll surrender because we're putting hardship on them, because we've got such wickedness in our lives that we're willing to do that to them that we can gain. And I say that to bring it forward to what's going on now. That you either line up with our system or we'll hurt you. We'll cut off your food supply. We'll make it hard. You won't even be able to get a job if you don't stand for what we're telling you. And you see it in the news right now. So I hope I'm any confidence you have in this, anything out there, I hope I'm tearing it completely down so that you've got one hope, and that is this spoken word.
Amen.
That's it. You go another day, you know, we do. In our flesh, we're like, oh, I hope they uncover some truth. Well, sure you do. Really, it's not going to help. Because the cycle that we're in now says they have to just do what they're doing and So she has to stand for truth, stand for the word, the pure word, because that's the only thing that can actually help. It's the only thing that can save us. It's the only thing that can save others is the spoken word. It brings judgment. And that word manifested through our lives, because we are voicing the same message that that was. We're saying the same thing, standing for the same thing. Then it's that manifestation in us that's bringing judgment also. Because they won't repent. They won't repent. And if they don't repent, there's not a thing God can do for them. If they won't accept truth and repent of their evil ways and confess it and so forth, then what can God do? He can. Because he will not go back against his own word. So, that message is in her. Because she's him. And that's why I can stand here and say, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion. I indict this generation for pushing aside truth in every form that comes along. I indict this generation. Why? Because he's now living in me. I'm repeating the same thing. I'm nothing, but the message I'm speaking comes from Almighty God. You see what I mean? That's exactly what's going on. We better walk humble, but we better walk straight. Right? Share it the best that you know how to do it, prayerfully, because things are moving. God wants this to get to us. And if we go week after week, year after year, month after month, year after year, and we're not changing, then what's happening? That's the spirit of Laodicea that's in us, that's present. Won't say in us necessarily, unless it is in you, but that's the spirit of Laodicea that's trying to hinder you from this word from getting to you. Because this is the power of the spoken word. This is the ability to change your life and draw you away from judgment. To create you back in an original form that's not hybrid. We cannot be hybrid in our walk. In our spiritual walk, we cannot be hybrid in them, and we have to stand firm on what's right and not mixed with anything else. And that's why it's the Word and the Word alone.
Amen.
I remember one time my wife and I were going to do something, and we were trying to figure out when to do it, how to do it, whatever. And I was thinking, well, we should. And she said, "Let's do it." And it was exactly what I thought. And then she said, "I said, okay." And I'm thinking, "Okay, well," and she says, "Let's do this way." There it is. Same thing. Three or four times in a row, every thought that I had, she just spoke it right out. She didn't even know what I'm talking about. But her mind was the same as mine. How'd she get that way? She doesn't know. All she knows that in her mind, or she does now, because I'm telling her, she still don't know what I'm talking about, but in her mind, her thoughts were exactly the thoughts I was having, and yet I hadn't even spoken to her.
Amen.
Bam, just like that, one right after another, within 30 seconds, that's the way it was. And I've looked back on that, and I thought, you know what? Because we're like, the prophet says she has the mind of the word, she has the mind, and it's like, well, I don't know what is he going to do? You just stay married to him. And your mind, you'll have the same thought he will.
Amen.
Because I witnessed it. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Don't worry about that part. You just stay married to him. Walk with him. And he'll make sure that the character he forms in you is him. And you don't have to worry about it after that. Amen? Amen. Let me read you a couple of quotes here. They're just telling you that if this is touching you, you respond to it. In your life, if you've got places that you know you need to give to the Lord, and respond to it, and respond to it hard. Amen. Because what I'm sharing with you today didn't come from me. Okay?
Amen.
Brother Branham said, Queen of Sheba, I've told you, it's all done. It's just, you know, OK? Okay? But let me tell you what he's doing in a couple of quotes here. Brother Ram says in Queen of Sheba, "And after 2,000 years of Bible teaching and scholars and schools and teaching it, how are we going to escape the wrath of the damnation of the wrath of God when this generation is called into view? This nation is ripe for judgment. We can never escape it. Remember, I speak in the name of the Lord." Now this is the prophet, and he just said, "Thus saith the Lord." "I speak in the name of the Lord. We are doomed. She's past repenting. She's gone. And the only thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to do is call out those children, come out from among them." That's all God's doing. The world as a whole has already hit that point. But the only thing, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord," the only thing God is doing is reaching those children, that elect, who's still out there in these belief systems and out there in all that stuff. He's just reaching them. That's all. He's not trying to fix the nations. We shouldn't be about trying to fix the nations. As I've said, why do we want to make America great again so we can have another drunken party? They never did repent. I mean, I hate to say that about our nation, but that's the truth.
Yes.
And this word, this program of God is much more important than how good things are in America or anywhere else in the world.
Amen.
The thing is, the chickens are coming to roost is all there is to it. That's the only thing the Holy Spirit's trying to do is call out those children, come out from among them. "And their eyes were open front," and Brother Rim says, "Now, friends, my hometown," I want to say this now before closing this revival. He's there in Jeffersonville. He said, "One of these days, there won't even be an ash left of Jeffersonville. There won't be one left in Charlestown, and there won't be one left in Louisville. The world is ripe for judgment. They've got a hydrogen bomb now that Russia can shoot from Moscow and land it on 4th Street and take one of these, every one of these powder plants around here and sink it 75 feet into the ground with one bomb, 15 square miles. It'll go 150 feet into the ground." He said, "The hand is on the trigger and the clock is ticking and it's later than you think." And Brother Rams ended by saying this, "Why wait till that time?"
Amen.
Why wait till that time? That's what the world's doing, but we don't have to do that. Because God has given us an insight on what's going on. They don't have a clue. They think they can fix things, but they don't realize the judgments that are on this world. It's ripe for judgment. It can't be reversed. But for you and I, we know that the Holy Spirit is reaching out to us to change us, to make us a people that's a representation of His spoken word on this earth. I mean, he's glad God has spoke to you a message that makes a difference in the lives of people.
Amen.
It means a lot to me.
Yes.
Amen. Let's let the musicians come. We'll bow our hearts to Him just for a moment of prayer. Been very attentive this morning to the Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to ask God that you just take these words that have been spoken. I'm just a frail human being. Lord, I don't stand up here trying to present myself to be anything, but Lord, just kind of thinking about the prophet, that when you speak, who can but prophesy? When the lion roars, who can but fear? And when you speak, who can but prophesy? Lord, when we see these things, you drop these things into our hearts and it all comes together, we see what's going on in the natural. Lord, we can't hush up. We have to speak and tell people about it. And so we're asking God that you would just take and let your Holy Spirit move into the hearts of your people and take these words and make use of them and put them together the way they need to be. God, that it would speak to them and help them move. We ask, Lord, that you would touch Sister Pansy in her legs. Lord, you're the great healer. You walked up Calvary and you suffered for her just like you did for the rest of us. And so, Lord, we pronounce your healing to her legs, that God, that you would touch her, that the remainder of her days here on this earth, Lord, she wouldn't have any troubles with those legs anymore. We ask abundantly, Lord, because you're the only one that we can come to. There's no other person, no other power that we can come to with the surety that we have with you. And so we come to you and ask, God, that you would handle these things and take these things yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Worship for a little bit. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Brother Ben said David had not lost his salvation, he had just lost his joy.
That's right.
And I find myself in that case many times. How about you?
Sure.
But you realize, you know, that's one thing you see in the life of David is God's got this.
That's right.
God's got it. Even when we make mistakes, God has it. There's something about David that he was a man after God's own heart. And you know what I believe? I believe the bride is someone after God's own heart, just like David was. And he's got you. Don't worry about what this world is doing. I know in the flesh it's frightful, but don't you worry. God's got this. You know, we don't want to live here forever. Brother Ram said, when you get old, what if, you know, take Brother Dallas, 90-something years, put another 20, 30 years on, what would you be? You'd just be a blob of flesh laying in the floor, trying to survive. We don't want to live here forever. I don't want to live in America forever. Not, I mean, I don't want to go somewhere else in the world and live, but I don't want to live here because I see what it's coming to. So let's embrace this rapture. Let's embrace this change that's coming. And just realize that God's got you covered. Just keep yourself in His hands. Just keep trusting Him. Amen. He's so good to us. And listen for that trumpet sound. Don't be listening to all that nonsense. You know, we do. We listen to news and all that. But don't let that be what's motivating you.
Yes,
listen for something that's positive. Amen. Let's sing. Listen for a different sound. Yeah. Just listen for a different sound. And then you can be dismissed. We'll sing that. Amen. God bless you for being here today. It's been good to be in the house with you. In the house of the Lord.